Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Beyond the junkyard, echoes roar, shattered dreams and bloodstains pour, grit and glory all from war.
Welcome to the Beyond the Junkyard podcast. This is where we take broken storylines, buried promos, and the forgotten feuds and repaint them and resend them out. It's the Beyond a Junkyard podcast where we love wrestling, so you don't have to. I'm Junkyard James, and with me, as always, my tag team partner, Cody Marinara. How are you doing, my friend?
I'm doing okay. This past week, what's interesting in the wrestling world of things, I learned that I love hockey and I hate football for the next few days, and then it may reverse back. And if you hear any noise in the background, I do apologize. I've got the Magic School Bus on the television right now. So,
Miss Frizzle.
Miss Frizzle, yeah. We're having fun over here in this household. That's how we spend our Thursday nights over here. How are you doing, sir?
Oh, we're doing pretty good. Like you said, it's been a, you know, in some ways this is great that it's a prediction show week, because it's real easy to make this show. There's not a whole lot of research that goes on when we do our prediction shows, because we don't talk about a whole lot. But man, this sucks that a lot of news has come out this week. I'm going to talk about some of it on the Saturday show, so I'll do my research for that, and we may have to save the other part for another episode, probably next week. But a lot of wrestling news. But it's been a pretty good week. The weather in North Carolina is still bipolar, doesn't know what it wants to do. My allergies are all over the place. I wake up some days sweating my you know what's off, and then some days I'm needing 4 blankets to stay warm. Depends on the day, I guess. But it's been a good day and a good week, and I can't wait for this Saturday for AEW Wrestle Dream. Let's get some housekeeping out of the way. Those 4 buttons at the top, or icons at the top of the screen, I need you to hit that like button for me. I need you to comment. This is a prediction show. I need y'all to comment your predictions with us as we go through them tonight. Share this video with your AEW friends that love AEW, or maybe they hate AEW and show them this video anyway. And subscribe, hit that notification bell if you listen to this afterwards when it goes on the Spotify page. Make sure you leave us that 5-star review. But just pretend you're Dave Meltzer and you're watching Kurt Angle, and you decide to actually give him a 5-star match. Just pretend that Kurt Angle gets a 5-star match. Give us a 5-star match. A 5-star review on Apple Podcasts or on Spotify. I learned today, though, I was going through our analytics for when I put them on the Spotify page. Shout out to Sydney, Australia, because apparently that's our most viewed city. Listening to the audio form of the podcast, Sydney, Australia. That's a fun thing. Maybe we have an audience in Australia. I don't know.
Appreciate the support.
Yes. We still don't like Vegemite. We still don't do.
No. No. But you have a good band. Men at Work Down Under is an amazing song. There's some good from the land down under. So we appreciate y'all.
Yeah, thank you for Kyle Fletcher, the greatest up and coming wrestler of all time, right? So like we said, like the video says, we will be going through AEW's card for Wrestle Dream. I think this is the first time I can almost confidently say Tony Khan will not be adding any more matches to this card, because we already have four matches on the Tailgate Brawl, and then eight matches for the main card. So look, it's Tony Khan. He can sneak one on there. But I'm pretty confident in saying we'll go through them all. There's no other shows until Saturday. So who knows? Maybe he'll add something from, the taped recording of ROH tonight. I don't know. Or something based off of what happens in CMLL tomorrow night when Mercedes Moné fights Persephone for the CMLL Women's World Championship. Maybe there's a TBS title in line for Persephone. Who knows? But the matches we got, we'll go through them tonight. But first, we're going to continue our series going over some of the ticketing news, what I like to call TikTok. We got to thank all of our sponsors. So as we open in with TikTok, tell us about StubHub.
Yes, sir. Appreciate the transition, and I am happy to do our TikTok segment here. But first, like you mentioned, we got to talk about the sponsor, StubHub. We've got to pay the bills, or help pay the bills. If you guys are looking to score tickets to the hottest event in town, StubHub has got you covered. Whether it's a concert, sports game, that must-see Broadway show, StubHub is your one-stop shop for live event tickets. And if you're a Clemson fan, be on the lookout for tomorrow. George Strait will be coming back to Clemson. The first time that Death Valley has hosted a concert in like 20 years, so about damn time. So one of the tickets go on sale, use StubHub for that, because Ticketmaster and other platforms, they get crazy with their ticketing fees and all that good stuff. And with millions of listings on StubHub, you can easily find the best seats at the best prices. Plus, with StubHub's 100% buyer guarantee, you can shop with confidence knowing that your tickets are legit and are ready for you to enjoy the experience. So why wait? Don't miss out on the action. Visit StubHub today and get your tickets to unforgettable moments. StubHub, the world's largest ticket marketplace. Use the link in the description so you guys can go get your tickets to all the live event needs in and around your area, and help support the podcast while we're doing that. So moving on to the latest edition of TikTok Talk, however you want to say it. We'll first start with the pay-per-view this weekend, Wrestle Dream in the Chavis Arena in St. Louis, Missouri. This was as of 4:30. Wrestle Tix had not done an update as of 4:30. So this is kind of me using last week's plus hand counting as well. So bear with us as we go along with this one. As of the 4:30 this morning or this afternoon, there were 467 tickets available. 5,528 tickets have been distributed. I got 2 days ago for the show. Last time they were in this arena was Dynasty for a big show, pay-per-view. We won't compare the last time they were there, which was a collision last year in December, I believe. So we used the pay-per-view that was hosted there previously, April 21st of last year. Dynasty in the same arena drew 6,619. So we are 1,091 tickets to go. If they were to sell 546 tomorrow, 546 on Saturday, they would meet that goal. The current setup is for 5,995, so they would need to open up more tickets to allot the chance to be able to get past the previous attendance at Dynasty. Cheapest ticket right now is at $33. So it's going to be interesting to see how the pricing of the map tickets being sold up until the day of the show, see if they can get close to that 6,600 total from Dynasty of last year. As long as Russell Tix kind of has an update for you next week, we'll have a final total so we can kind of see where they did or what they did last year to this year. Next one down the list is Blood and Guts, our show that we're going to. Latest update is of today. Russell Tix didn't have an update for this one as of a couple days ago. So I'm kind of also doing the same thing using hand counting, but also just using a little bit of last week into this week as well. Available tickets are 812. They've sold 3,032 tickets. That is 288 up from last week, 27 days ago. So a little under 4 weeks away. I'm using the Collision and the Dynamite, not Revolution last year, since it's not a pay-per-view. They're not going to get 16,000. They have averaged about 5,400 tickets sold for the Dynamite and Collision in Greensboro. So they got about 2,368 tickets, average about 88 per day up until the day of the show to get to that 5,400. They've currently got it set up for 3,844. So moving up, got to get a little bit more hype for the show. Lower bowl starting to fail a little bit. He can open up a couple more sections on the lower bowl and maybe a few rows in the upper deck if they show, if they decide to do so. Cheapest ticket right now, same thing as last week, $29.45. Ticket prices are not the problem for this show. It's just a matter of getting the hype. I think once they announce the Blood and Guts match itself of who's going to be competing, obviously it's going to feature the women. It's just a matter of who, and also what the card is going to look like for that show. We should be able to see a good surplus in ticket sales leading up to the day of the show. Last two I'm going to go over is featuring WWE shows. We're going to talk about SmackDown tomorrow night happening at the SAP Center in San Jose, California. This was as of this afternoon, about 4:45. There's about 1,050 tickets available. They've sold about 9,800. Could sell one day to go. However, Raw this past, the last time they were in this arena was Raw, January 13th of this year. So about 9 months ago, they drew 13,301. So they're about 3,500 tickets away from that. The current setup is for 10,850. The cheapest ticket available is $54.35. Don't know if they're going to get to that 13,000 number. Obviously, it's WWE. It's a good sell. 9,000, 10,000 tickets. It's good for them, obviously. Kind of expected. Then we go to our last show we're going to talk about is Raw, happening this upcoming Monday, October the 20th, at the Golden One Center in Sacramento. They've sold 8,064 tickets with the 1,234 available. They were at this arena in April of this year, so only 6 months ago. They drew 14,194. They are 6,000 tickets away from getting that. I don't think they're going to get to that number. Current setup is only for 8,742. They may bump that up to 9,000, but they got to sell about 1,533 per day to even get to that 6,000 number. Cheapest ticket available is $55.70. This is not a shot at WWE by saying, oh, they can no longer draw. But drawing less for SmackDown tomorrow night than they did for the Raw in January in San Jose. And then also going back to Sacramento 6 months from the last time they were there for a Raw. And at the moment, they are 6,000 short from their number that they drew in April. Oversaturating some markets. Plus, I think this time of year, you're not drawing as much sales. School's back in session. Not many kids are wanting, you know, not many parents are going to take kids to these weekday shows with school happening the next day, late nights. But going back to some of these same markets, it seems like almost three times a year, but definitely twice in a year. Kind of tough to keep those sales up. Just some interesting stuff there. We'll see what Russell Dream's ticket sales are like after this weekend. And then we'll kind of continue on. And I may do a final count for SmackDown and Raw to kind of see where the final draw was as compared to last times they were at these arenas too. So overall, a very interesting topic, something we both like to look into, and it'll be interesting to see where these final counts end up.
Absolutely. Thank you, my friend. I believe John Cena's final match at Capital One Arena, the ticket sales opened this week. And from what I understand, 54,000 people were in the queue.
Yeah. WrestleTix has no update as to the first count of it. I guess that's because technically the pre-sale, there was a pre-sale earlier this week. There was a 2-day pre-sale that happened yesterday and today. And I believe the on-sale to the general public will happen tomorrow. There is some tickets that are still left over, mostly in the upper deck from the pre-sale. At last check, when I saw it, the cheapest ticket was $260 to sit in the very, very top of Capital One Arena. They're definitely going to get a lot of money's worth in this. It's going to sell out. Cena's last match, so it's going to. It's just insane with the pricing, though, how crazy the pricing is for that. But, yeah, it'll be interesting to see kind of what the – if they can try to get as many people, you know, a complete sellout of that show. But I would love to see what the gate's going to look like for that and what the final count, all that stuff is. It's going to be a money maker for sure, but, yeah. Insane pricing.
All right. Yeah, absolutely. So again, check out StubHub for your ticketing needs by using the link in the description below. You can help support us and the podcast. Same thing with WWE Shop. I don't buy merch from them because their merch is way expensive. But if you want to spend $40 to get a t-shirt, go ahead and use the link in the description box below and get that WWE merch from WWE Shop, powered by Fanatics. That link's there, helps support the podcast. Same thing with RSS.com. That's how I upload the audio version of the podcast. And if you use our code and subscribe to one of their monthly or yearly plans, you help support the podcast that way. And as always, W Energy, you see the flag in the back. You see, I still got my cup up here. I still drink out of it. I'm still drinking the W Energy mix. They got a new product called Hydration Packs. They're doing a sampler kit. You can try all the flavors in the sampler kit. Use our code that is Beyond the Yard. At checkout, w.gg, get 10% off your order and help support our podcast. We're going to jump in, though, to everybody's favorite part of the show. And that's the mid-card meltdown. And I told you earlier this week I had one, and I'm going to stick with that one, though. There's a lot more I could melt down about. I'm going to save that second piece of the meltdown for my Saturday show, because I'm going to take that. And then I'm going to build a bigger story out of it. It's going to take that whole episode to talk about. But I do have a mid-card meltdown I'll share. But I'll let you start first. Like, that's tradition, so you can go first. What's your mid-card meltdown, my friend?
Like you said, there was a few on the table this week that you could really get a hold of. I have a few. I'm going to try to stick to one, but I think I'm going to have to do two of them. Now, before I do that, I don't want to spoil anything for your Saturday show. And if you're not going to share yours tonight and you're saving for Saturday, let me just ask if my two topics have anything to do with it. And if they do, I'll steer away from it so we can kind of save for yours until Saturday. Does it have anything to do with the turn this past week?
No.
Does it have anything to do with the Hardys and Team 3D?
No.
Oh, that's perfect. Great. So I can share both of mine. So let me first start with the turn. No. We all knew it was coming. We all knew it was going to happen eventually. Unless Seth has had an injury before the turn, this was one of the more illogical turns that I can remember in recent times. Because the turn was just to get a reaction. It was a turn just to turn. There was no real logistic behind it. It was just to get a reaction and get some social media numbers, interactions, all that stuff. If Seth was hurt before this, then it makes sense. I understand it. But if Seth got hurt during this turn or shortly after, that looks even worse. Good timing, I guess, for the turn aspect of it. But you just killed your program. In general, they did. Yeah. I understand that we can't do the 3-year-long, 4-year-long bloodline storyline. I get it. I understand it. But 3 months is entirely way too short for this whole thing to be happening. I haven't really read too much of the dirt sheets, so I don't know if Seth got hurt possibly before this attack, during this attack.
From my understanding, he got hurt in his match the day prior, or at the pay-per-view Saturday, I guess. And who is he fighting? Cody? CM Punk? I can't remember who he was fighting.
Somebody.
And he got hurt in that match. I didn't watch the show, so I couldn't tell you where he got hurt or whatnot. But that's from what I've heard, is he got hurt in that match. And so I guess it makes sense to pull the turn. But even so, I don't know. I feel like there was a way that they could have dragged this story out a little bit longer.
What they could have done. If Seth's hurt and he has to take time off, obviously he's got to relinquish the title. Do the heelish thing. Give it a Braun Breaker. Give it a Bronson Reed. Give it to somebody in the family. So it stays in the family. It keeps Seth as the heel, and it makes them even more of douchebags, because it's like, really? You know, they couldn't just forfeit the title and there's a match between the two, or there's like a tournament. No, we're just going to hand it down in the family. Right. And then when Seth comes back, he's going to expect them to hand it back over, and then they do the turn. That's logistic, in my opinion. Or just don't attack him until he comes back. Because to me, what does Seth do from here? He just became a heel. He's a great heel, but now he's supposed to be a face when he comes back. And it doesn't make any sense.
What they could have done also, though, is what they did with Jade Cargill in principle, tell it a different way, but have if Seth is really hurt, like he's projected to be, say that he had an injury in the back or whatever, and he's unable to wrestle. And then when Seth is good and he's back and he's doing what he's got to do, then it's revealed that Breaker was the one that injured him in the back, and they can do the whole Jade Cargill story, but actually tell it good. They fucked up the first time. So I don't know. It just, one, Seth is going to come back as a babyface, and that sucks. I don't like babyface Seth. I like heel Seth. Two, I don't know. Like, obviously, we knew the point of this stable was to get to WrestleMania, and I think it was going to be Seth versus Braun anyway at WrestleMania, but we couldn't drag it out a little bit. We couldn't tell a story of tension between the family because Seth isn't showing up to work. Like, they couldn't just write him off and keep him as, like, a hidden part of the story, and then have that WrestleMania match set up through Seth not showing up and helping out. Because Braun and Braun, Bronson Reed and Braun Breaker, they're legit tag team, I believe. They could have dominated the tag team division while Seth was out. And Seth come back. And then that's when they could have done the turn. I'm not a fan of them rushing the story, even if Seth is hurt. They could have pulled it off a little bit better, in my opinion.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. I just think that they botched this whole thing, and it's a shotgun booking, in my opinion. Now to move on to my second part of the meltdown, Team 3D versus the Hardys took place this past weekend at Bound for Glory for the NXT and TNA tag team titles.
Complete ass, by the way.
I didn't watch that match. I didn't watch the show, so I'm glad you said that. And apparently Team 3D is retiring from the ring.
Correct.
Why did this have to happen in TNA? I understand that Bubba and D-Von spent more of their time in TNA than WWE, I think. I'm not totally sure about the Hardys. They may be really close. If not, maybe TNA by just a smidge more. So maybe that from that aspect, it makes a little bit of sense. But they made their name, both of them, in WWE. They became household names because of WWE. And I just think that they could have done a much bigger platform storyline. They could have done this on a grander scale. And right. It didn't have to be at a WrestleMania. It could have been at any at a WWE pay-per-view, like a Survivor Series, like a SummerSlam. Right. It could have been anywhere. And they decided to do it on a TNA pay-per-view, and I feel like that was more so just so they can pop a number than right. anything. And I think that that's pretty shitty. You could probably say the same thing about Sting's retirement at Revolution. But that was Sting's choice, and maybe it was Team 3D and the Hardy's choice. I don't know. But it leaves a sour taste in my mouth that we had this on a TNA show. And it's like, okay, that's fine. If you guys spend the most of the time there and you guys felt like it was right to do it there, you guys made your name and became the biggest you've ever been because of WWE.
Right.
So you could have done a final TNA match at Bound for Glory. That's totally fine. And then how about we move it on to WWE and do it at the Rumble, at a WrestleMania, at a SummerSlam, at a whatever. And finish up your in-ring career where you made the most money, where right. you made your biggest name. But no, we had to do it in a TNA show. And
right.
four or 5 months from now, I mean, it's going to be forgotten and all for nothing.
Yeah, well, here's the thing is they tried to gimmick the Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair retirement scene.
I did see that.
And it was, that was bad. But
like if, Bubba Ray shit himself.
It looked like he glitched, like he was an NPC in Call of Duty or something, or whenever we get GTA 6, they're just gonna have a Bully Ray character just glitching out. I don't know if this was I think this would have been this could have popped a number for them calling it a retirement match. Like they could have done a retirement versus like a career versus career match and not have the tag team titles on the line, the double title match, and still would have popped a number, even though the number they gave was completely fabricated, by the way. They said they had like 7,900 people in that arena. Bullshit. No, and the match wasn't great. And I knew it wasn't going to be great because D-Von can barely walk. There's no way in hell he's going to put on a match. And then the only thing is yeah, this match was great. But these tag teams were legends of the game, but they're trying to gimmick or use the power of the gimmick of the TLC match that made him popular. And the company that the TLC match didn't happen in this company. And you're missing one of the tag teams. It felt a little, I don't know, off. I wasn't a big fan of the match. And to be completely honest, of that entire show, I was only a fan of one and a half of the matches. The hardcore war match was great. I liked to actually see that TNA, I was surprised that they were allowing it, like legit intergender spots. And then the Leon Slater match with Javon Evans up until the very ending, match of the year, like in my opinion. And then they had to have Darksteak show up and ruin the whole fucking thing. And that's a story for another day. Anything else you got on your mid-card meltdown, my friend?
No, I think I'm good for this week. That's good enough for me.
All right, so I do have one piece I want to talk about. I'll keep this short because the longer meltdown is going to happen again on Saturday's show that I'll post prior to the pay-per-view on Saturday. But do you remember right after All In this past year, AEW ran a residency at the Aragon Ballroom in Chicago, right?
Yep.
All right, and you had all of these people like Heel Uchi, JD from NY, and even like legit wrestling commentators like Raj Geary complaining about using the Aragon Ballroom, that it looked like a clown show and a circus and all of that, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Well, hey, guys, why the silence on the fact that on November 15th, NXT is running a live event, a live Saturday show, November 15th, at the Aragon Ballroom in Chicago, Illinois. I'm assuming it is just a house show. It doesn't seem like it's going to be a televised event, because the way they're announcing that there's going to be special appearances by Monday Night Raw and Friday Night SmackDown superstars, meaning we'll get CM Punk on an NXT show for you. That way you can see him in Chicago. November 15th, that's a Saturday. I wonder.
Could be PLE. They're just not announcing it yet.
It may be. I don't know. Okay, this is the week before Full Gear. I was wondering if they were running it head-to-head with Full Gear, but it's not. So November 15th. Are we going to... I mean, here's going to be their excuse. Well, it's not an episode of NXT, so it doesn't count. To be completely honest, though, Aragon Ballroom will fit more fans than what they run in most NXT shows. The Performance Center only holds like 800 people. So... But again, dead silence on the fact that the Aragon Ballroom is being used. In fact, I'm sure there's somebody saying that it's really cool that NXT is going to the Aragon Ballroom. And I don't know. It just ticked me off a little bit. Just again, the hypocrisy of the fans on that side who like to complain about certain things, but won't complain about others. I'll just mention briefly, kind of to preface my Saturday show, to kind of promote it. Hey, so remember when WWE fans were complaining that Rey Fénix and Ricky Starks were held in, what do they call it? Guantanamo Bay, I think is what they called it. Guantanamo Bay.
Where apparently Britt Baker is right now. Yeah.
Yeah, Guantanamo Bay. Well, apparently, WWE has their version of Guantanamo Bay. It's called Pawcatrass. And Andrade's going there for about a year. I'll talk about Andrade's situation on Saturday. I don't want to talk about it today because the information's still coming out. And I just want to make sure all the correct information is said. So we'll talk about it Saturday.
Hey, the only thing I'll say about that, since you want to say it for Saturday's show for you, and that's totally fine, because like you said, there's a lot going on and information is kind of sparse at the moment, so maybe by Saturday you'll have a little bit more of a breakdown and a better timeline and be able to really fully discuss it, and maybe we can touch base on a little bit more next week. But all I got to say is timing, of course, is perfect because it's AEW pay-per-view week, so of course this would all happen.
Yep.
So there's your monthly AEW bad news of the week, because it's pay-per-view week.
Pay-per-view week. Got to have negative press on AEW on pay-per-view week, right? Though, to be completely honest, though, it's the perception is WWE, at least from what I've seen, is WWE's some petty sons of bitches and for picking on AEW. And that's the perception I'm getting. So if their idea was, hey, let's injure the perception of AEW, they failed again.
You played yourself.
But again, I'll get to that on Saturday. Just tune in. I'll record. That'll be posted probably Saturday afternoon. Let's get going. Let's predict this AEW Wrestle Dream card. I put the tailgate brawl matches on here, but there. We'll talk about them, but let's not count them for the official record. How about that? Just because they're available. They're available, and we can talk about them briefly. All right. I want to first start off by prefacing. Saturday Tailgate Brawl is on at 7 o'clock on TNT. And if this was anything like last pay-per-view, head-to-head on YouTube will be 0 hour. They're two different shows. Tailgate Brawl will be on TNT, and it's the they only ran 1 hour of Collision last night, so this is the second hour of Collision, essentially, for contractual purposes. You'll get your in-ring work. Your 0 hour on YouTube is just going to be a lot of like interviews and promos, and Renee will be talking to RJ City on about how to buy the pay-per-view 700 times. If you want to watch the in-ring work, you have to tune in to HBO Max or TNT to watch these matches. They're not going to be on the YouTube stream. A lot of people were really confused about that last month. But let's get going. So it seems like there's an open challenge this Saturday but with Eddie Kingston and Hook. As a tag team, they're going to be in action. We don't know against who. So I guess we can go ahead and assume that they're going to win the match. Typically, that's what this means. But any ideas on who they may wrestle?
QT Marshall and Aaron Solo, if they're still around, I don't know.
the Boom Boom Gang?
It may be. Jobber 1 and Jobber 2. That's it. And Eddie and Hook will win.
Yeah, this is either I can see this being a continuation of Eddie's return match when he fought Big Bill, and it's Big Bill and Brian Keith with Chris Jericho or whatever. But I'm assuming it's just going to be two jobbers. Eddie Kingston and Hook will take a win, or it's a debut of a brand new tag team, and then. But it's on the pre-show, so I doubt they do that on the pre-show. So, Eddie, I think we're all in agreement here. This is just a warm-up match to test to see what Hook and Eddie Kingston look like as tag teams. Though it would be fun if it was Max Caster and Anthony Bowens.
That would be funny.
Especially after last night. Let's keep it going. To the next match, we have a 4-on-4 tag team match, an 8-man tag between the Conglomeration, there's just Tomohiro Ishii, Orange Cassidy, Kyle O'Reilly, and Roderick Strong versus the Death Riders, Daniel Garcia, Pac, Wheeler Yuta, Claudio Castagnoli. This will be a fun match to get the crowd interested. But I have no idea who wins this. I'll go with faces. Give me Conglomeration, I guess.
Yeah, it's a little bit of a tricky situation. Claudio beat Roderick last night, and then Daniel Garcia and Wheeler Yuta beat Orange Cassidy and Kyle O'Reilly. So therefore, because the heels won last night, I'm gonna have to say the faces win as well, and Conglomeration will conglomerate and get a win on Saturday Tailgate Brawl.
Just quick aside, do you feel like they're kind of misusing the Death Riders at this point? Like they just don't know what to do with them, so they're just throwing them in random tag team matches?
Yeah, I can kind of see that. I think it's hard to kind of place where they're going to be at. From a storyline perspective of like Orange Cassidy and Darby Allin, those that they've injured and they're trying to get their up and comings and take them down. It kind of makes a little bit of sense. But there's just, it seems like we're kind of going in circles a little bit now. And I think this is part of the reason with WWE to a certain extent, but AEW to a certain extent, that two different companies, WWE was doing better when Cody was on top and was the world champion, or at least was chasing the world champion while Roman Reigns was running around as champion. And I would say the same is for AEW. When Jon Moxley was the world champion and Hangman and the faces were itching to beat him and regain control of the world title, AEW was doing better overall from a storyline perspective, from a TV production perspective, and ticket sales. I think they were doing better for their pay-per-views and doing better for some dynamites. So I think when you have the heel that the story is working and the chase is really good, you get really good TV, you get really good ratings and numbers attendance-wise. Right. When you finally get the face to win, it's hard to keep and maintain that success because now the face has won. Now it's like, what's next? You don't really want to see the heel win. But yeah, it's tough with where they're going to, whatever the direction is going to go with the Death Riders. I think that they're not done. I think that this might be a little bit of a lull in the story and they may come back up. I don't know. But yeah, they're in a weird spot.
Yeah, I just think with both main companies, at least they're just both companies are not ready to push a lot of these stories into a new position this late in the year, where they want to probably reset everything at the beginning of the year as AEW starts their push to, you know, Double or Nothing and All In and all of those shows that happen in the summer. That's their big time. And then the beginning of the year, WWE has Royal Rumble and then leading into WrestleMania. This is just kind of the position where both companies aren't willing to commit to a long-term story. And so you're just going to get a little bit of a jumbled mess in both products for a couple months. And then once we get to December or January, things will start to make a little bit more sense with a long-term story perspective. All right, we got Jet Speed and FTR next on the Tailgate Brawl. I'm assuming at some point we'll get some... I don't know. I don't know how this match ends. I would say Willow and Megan interfere, but I think they're in their own match, so I don't think that... That interference will happen in this match. I really don't know what happens with this one. I think on the pre-show you want to make the fans happy. It's kind of the way I'm looking at it. Give me Jet Speed to win.
I can see that perspective, but at the same time, I think it just depends on what the direction they're going with. You know, they could still have Willow and Megan fight and have that be the kind of conclusion of this match and segment. And it immediately leads into the tag team match with Willow and Harley against Megan and Penelope. So could do that. I think FTR wins, so.
Fair. And speaking of that match, we got Penelope Ford and Megan Bain and Willow Nightingale and Harley Cameron fighting in a tag team match.
Weren't they on the All Out Tailgate Brawl last month, or was that like an eight-woman tag?
That was an eight-woman tag, I believe. Because there was, yeah, I think Sky Blue and Anna Jay and a bunch of other women were in that Tailgate Brawl match. I'm tired of this match, to be completely honest with you. Seems like we get it every week. I need something out of them. Willow needs to be going for a championship instead of playing in this feud. And I get why they're doing it. They've been doing it for the last three months or so because they're getting us to Blood and Guts, and it'll come to its conclusion at Blood and Guts. But oh my gosh, every week we get the same match, and it almost feels WWE-esque because it's not like we get the same match and there's a different piece of the story. It feels like it's deja vu. Like, didn't I see this last week? Though I will say last night, Harley Cameron kicking out of Megan Bain's finisher was a shocker. But ultimately, Megan Bain won that match. Like I said, I think Willow Nightingale should not be in these feuds. She should be feuding for the top championship or the TBS belt or or something. She should not be in this position. And I get they're trying to show us what tag teams may be available for the seeming. I guess maybe that's where the AEW Women's Tag Team Champions went with Andrade back in WWE. because we haven't seen them in 3 weeks. So I don't know. It just doesn't seem to be any progression in this story. It's like they're stuck and they're not moving them anywhere. And we're just getting repeat after repeat. And granted, the matches are good. And I love Willow Nightingale. I love Harley. I love Megan and Penelope. But man, all of these women should be doing more than what they're doing. And the fact that they're not on the main card, I think, is a disservice to this women's division. But that's, again, a story, a conversation for another day. But Willow and Harley win this match.
Yeah, I agree about everything. It's time for this to either move on to something bigger and better or to just stop it and start over. Move these people in different directions. Debut the women's tech belt. Do something. Give me something besides the same thing almost every week. Yeah, I think Willow and Harley will win this, and maybe we'll get a mention of the women's tag team belts on the broadcast. Maybe not. I think we need to take a shot for every time that we don't see the belts on TV every week.
Brother, I don't have the alcohol money in my budget for the alcohol I would have to spend for that.
That's fair.
It's not on the show, but I want to mention it. I don't know when it's going to happen. Mercedes Moné cut a promo last night, and it sounded like she was going to be at WrestleDream. But she's not on a match. There's no official open challenge for the belt. But what happens? I'm assuming they're going to have a celebration for her being the longest TBS championship at some point on the show. Does this turn into a match, or is this just going to be one of those celebrations where someone comes out leading to a match eventually down the road?
Yeah, I think that it probably will lead to a quote unquote celebration of some sort, and then we get a debut, somebody coming back, and it leads to a big pop, and that creates a program for that to potentially lead to a title match down the road. I couldn't tell you. I couldn't tell you. Even if it was an open challenge, I still couldn't tell you.
I can tell you it's not.
I think, yes.
Yeah. It's not Britt Baker. You don't get your hopes up, folks.
No. I think we are well away from that.
I saw some people mention this may be the debut of like Dakota Kai or the reappearance of Hikaru Shida. I think it would be absolutely hilarious if it's Riho, just because it would just piss everybody off if it was Riho.
Don't do that.
But I'm sure she will be on the show at some point. Mercedes Moné is running a freaking ridiculous schedule this weekend, by the way. Tomorrow night, she's running the CMLL Women's Championship against Persephone in Arena Mexico. If she shows up Saturday, she'll be in St. Louis for WrestleDream. And then Sunday she has to go to Winnipeg, Canada to fight for the Winnipeg Pro Wrestling Women's Championship, which she most likely will win and have 11 titles to her name. Unless she loses on Friday, which I doubt she does. But though Persephone is champion is what I hope for. Anyways, let's get to the main card. Why don't we? For once, we have less than a double digit. We have single digit matches on the main card for the first time.
I can't remember that. It's going to go. It's about to get jumped up now. Thanks, Jamie.
We're at 8. Usually they go to 10. So I'm assuming maybe we get 2 matches somewhere. That's why I'm saying.
Have a day and a half to go.
I'm thinking maybe Moné gets one of those. And then it's Tony Khan versus Triple H. Winner gets Andrade. Um, All right, let's get to the main card. We got a Tornado Trios match between the Demand and the Hurt Syndicate. And as much as this feud just started, I'm already over this freaking feud. I don't
you were just
like...
mentioning about how we're tired of seeing Penelope and Megan versus Willow and Harley. Yeah, this is me with this. I'm done with it. Please move on.
Yeah,
wouldn't it be phenomenal if maybe these guys were fighting for, I don't know, maybe a title that actually makes fucking sense instead of. Never mind. Continue.
No, this is a trios match. Where are the trios titles? Listen. I think I said last week or 2 weeks ago that they should have LFI win them and win the belt and unify the ROH Trios belts with these Trios belts. And they had the opportunity to do that last night, and they had LFI lose the Trios match. There's no point in keeping the Trios belts on the ops. I'm sorry, there isn't.
They should have just gave it to the Demand a few weeks ago, and we could have had at least two or three Trios titles matches by now, and at least would have been like, all right, at least we get to see him on TV.
Right. But we get this match again. The Demand have won the first two matches, I believe. So my mind is going that the Hurt Syndicate win this match.
That's what I'm going with as well. I think eventually they're going to have to win. I'm done with this. I'm done with the storyline. Please move on.
MVP does not belong in a ring at this point in his career.
No.
I don't care how cool his gear looks. He's not, like I said, D-Von can't move. MVP is about as bad as D-Von.
Yeah, it's not far off.
And I love MVP as a spokesperson. He can be the manager, but it would be like if you had Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed and Paul Heyman wrestling. That's what this is at this point. I don't want to see Paul Heyman wrestle. Please don't let him wrestle. yeah, but
you've
I think
that they, once never again.
But at this point, I do think the Hurt Syndicate get this win. All right, we'll move on to the AEW World Tag Team Championship match. We have Brodito against Konosuke Takeshita, the new IWGP World Heavyweight Champion, and then the AEW Enter something, Quantum something. I don't know what they call it.
Unified
champion, Kazuchika Okada. And this might be the hardest match for me to predict, but I'm going to fantasy book this and go with my fantasy booking. And I'm going to have Takeshita and Okada win this match. And you got to stay with me for a moment here. They win. They have the tag belts for a while, a couple months. That doesn't have to be long. And then you bring in a new tag team, maybe I don't know who you can have, Jet Speed or something. At some point in time, the beef between Okada and Takeshita, their tag team champion, somebody misses a pin or misses a tag or something, costs them the tag team belts. Let's just say at Full Gear or World's End. It doesn't have to be a super long run. Setting up an IWGP match at Wrestle Kingdom between Okada and Takeshita, because the Wrestle Kingdom match is wide open because Konosuke Takeshita is fighting Hirooki Goto like next month for the IWGP belt and not at Wrestle Kingdom. So I think that's where it goes. To get this feud to the next level, I think it would be great to see Takeshita and Okada win the tag belts. And wouldn't it not be fun to have Brodito lose? I don't know if he's ready, but anyway, if Buddy Matthews comes out, beats the living shit out of Bandito, turns him face again, turn Brody King heel again, because he needs to be that dominant heel. And Bandito can start defending his ROH World Championship and not the AEW Tag Team belts.
So I like your fantasy booking. I do. I originally was just like, yeah, Brodito's winning this. It's no brainer. This is where we get the turn. It's gonna set up for them fighting at full gear. And then you started talking more about your prediction, and I'm like, you know what? I like for the most part, I like what you said. And I think we could have it, and it would work. Takeshita and Okada accidentally win the belts.
Right. Kind of like they did with the accidental win 2 weeks ago or whatever it was. When
yes, they accidentally win these belts. They hold it for a month until full gear. And they lose it to Jesse. They lose it to I don't care who. They just lose it. Young Buck. I don't care. They lose it to full gear.
Jurassic Express.
It could be them. I don't care. They lose it. It could be a three-way. So that way we can get Jurassic Express and the Young Bucks in this match as well. But yet, Jurassic Express or the Young Bucks win, then they carry their feud into the next pay-per-view, fight for the tag team belts. My God, we have a tag team storyline again.
Let's go.
Then we get Takeshita and Okada to lose the belt to full gear. And this is where I think we set up a trilogy between the two.
Okay.
My problem is where and when. Because I think what will happen is Takeshita is going to win the Continental Classic to fight Okada at World's End for the Unified Belt. Okay. Okada wins. We somehow intertwine this with New Japan, and maybe they get their match at Wrestle Kingdom for the IWGP belt just for that belt. Takeshita wins. And then we get Revolution, Double or Nothing. I think Double or Nothing is a perfect venue for it. It's just a matter of if Gato wants to do it with Tony Khan, how they want to work that out. I don't really want to wait until Forbidden Door. I guess it could happen. I don't know. But then we get the trilogy, the third and final match. They both have a win. Everything is on the line. Unified belt, IWGP world title. Whoever wins that wins all the gold. That to me would be great.
And they still haven't announced if they were doing Wrestle Dynasty this year. So that could be part of where the trilogy is if they're running that show at a
it later could, date. But my fear is that it would be so soon to do all three of those matches. It would be December, January, and either later January or February.
Yeah, that makes sense.
That's why it would be like, all right, December, January, wait.
Wait till like May or June. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, and like I said, it could be a thing of I wonder if Tony Khan has had any kind of conversations with Gato or anybody from the brass of New Japan and said, hey, I have this idea. Let's see if we can do this. We'll do one match on an AEW pay-per-view, World's End. We'll do the IWGP World Title match at Wrestle Kingdom, Tokyo Dome, biggest stage for New Japan at New Japan's own turf. And then the third match is for all the belts. And then I think it's just a matter of where they do that match. It may be Forbidden Door, so they can have the AEW New Japan collaboration together. And I'm not against that. That's 6, 5, 6, 7, 8 months down the road. It gives it time for that storyline to breathe. And then they come back to have that penultimate match to the rubber match to kind of get things done. But I cannot wait for them to have their match. I hope they get a feud, like a trilogy. I'm not gonna be that egotistical wrestling fan and say I'm gonna toot my own horn and I called it, but I have been such a fan of Takeshita from when I first saw him in AEW.
Yeah.
That I thought that he was groomed to be a huge star in some capacity. I just didn't know where, whether AEW, New Japan or whatever, but I'm so glad he's getting the opportunity now. Perfect opponent with him and Okada, both in the Japan side of things and the AEW side of things. And kudos to Tony Khan. Kudos to him for letting Takeshita have a dual contract.
Japan
finally has its Japanese top star again to replace Naito, to replace Okada. They have it now.
Well, and it's not just dual. He has a triple contract.
Mm-hmm.
AEW, DDT Pro, and New Japan Pro. So, and I think Takeshita is, after Wrestle Dream, going over to do some DDT stuff. So yeah, no, again, to that point, proper partnerships work a long way. And so kudos.
It's amazing how it works. It really is. And guess what? You're making the guy a top star in a big promotion.
And both promotions.
Making him a bigger star in your American promotion.
Right.
It's amazing how that works.
Yep. So are you picking, still going Brodito? Yeah. Or?
I originally was going to go Brodito, but I'm going to switch and go with Takeshita and Okada.
I'm going to take the credit for converting you on that. So
Yes, sir. I appreciate that. If they win, you will get full credit. If they don't, I'm blaming you.
Goodness.
It's amazing how this tag team match that doesn't look like, okay, might be the most talked about match of the card.
Right. Yeah, no, absolutely. All right, let's continue with some women on the show. Jason, Toxic.
That segment was very funny last night.
Yeah, so for those who don't have social media, that was actually debuted right before Takeshita fought for the IWGP Championship this weekend, and then they showed it on AEW TV. So I had already seen that piece. It was quite great. I love the callback to, I hit the wrong button. Bitch, yeah,
that was great.
That was a good segment. Thank you, Mr. Clodfelter, for tuning in to tonight's show. Let's talk about Jamie Hayter and the Toxic Spider Tekla. I love this match. I love the vignettes that Tekla's been cutting have been really great. But I hope this is the last time we see Tekla fight Jamie Hayter for quite some time. And it probably won't be. Yeah. And it probably won't be because he'll probably be wrestling at Blood and Guts again as part of the Blood and Guts match. But because if I remember correctly, Hayter was the one that called for Blood and Guts. Am I right?
Yes.
So this will be a fun match. Both women are great. Really good in-ring workers, both of them. I have no idea who's going to win this match. So I'm just going to pick my gut selection and pick Tekla to win just because I know this is leading to something with Blood and Guts. And because it's leading to something, my gut feeling always is to go with the heel in that situation. So I'll take Tekla.
So I could see that. And that may be the right way to go. I'm going with Jamie Hayter for the fact that it's going to, the loss to Jamie is going to push Tekla to get like even more frustrated to say, you know what? Blood and Guts. Like I can't, I'm mad that I can't beat you. Now I really want to destroy you and bloody you up and beat the hell out of you. I'm accepting. Let's do Blood and Guts. That's kind of like the counter to, well, if I can't beat you, I'll accept your offer and let's go to war type of thing. Right. That's my thinking. I think either one, and obviously it's leading to Blood and Guts. It's just a matter of how it truly,
yeah.
So either one would work. We're leading to it anyways, but it's gonna be kind of interesting to see the winner of the match and how they finally get the better build to Blood and Guts and make this whole match and event take shape.
Yeah, totally. This is a close one. This is gonna be a good match. So is this one. This match is going to be really good. For the fifth time, we have Kyle Fletcher fighting Mark Briscoe. This time it's for the TNT Championship. And as much as I want Mark Briscoe to win this match, the title's on the line. And there's no way in hell they're pulling Kyle Fletcher off this belt. He is the biggest star of this company at this point, I think. He is the guy that they're building to be the next top guy. I think this belt should not come off of him for quite some time. And Mark Briscoe is going to get super bloody in this match. Fletcher and him are going to go to war. But Kyle Fletcher wins this match. It's tied up 2-2, I believe. And Kyle Fletcher wins the fifth match, best of five. Sudden death, Kyle Fletcher gets it done.
Yeah. It's gonna be a pretty physical match, but I'm gonna go with Fletcher as well to retain. A side kind of fancy thing popped in my head of what if Fletcher loses, but yet we have a 3-month build for him and Heyman at the Grand Slam Australia, and Fletcher wins the world title in Australia. That's shotgun booking. Doesn't make sense, and ain't going to happen. But Fletcher going into Australia and coming out of Australia as TNT champion, one of the faces of the company, that works. So Fletcher wins.
All right, let's move into the Jurassic Express versus Young Bucks match. This stipulation, the winner gets $500,000. And the Young Bucks are, they're poor again because they decided to waste all their money on gambling in Vegas. And, yeah. I love these stipulations. I don't know where Tony Khan gets all this money. Hey, Dad, I need to do another stipulation. How much can you donate?
That was that $500,000 came from the revenue of the jersey sales from the Jaguars throwback jersey. So there you go.
Exactly. Well, they don't have to pay the Young Bucks for their EVP status anymore. So that's probably where it came from, too. $500K on the line. Jurassic Express versus the Young Bucks. And I don't know, because Jurassic Express came out on top last night, which the traditionalist, the WWE booking side of me says this means the Young Bucks win this match. But I'm willing to pull the swerve, and I think Jurassic Express win the match, win the money, continue on. I really think they're going to the top babyface tag team. This allows Brodito to separate for a little bit, especially if Bandito's actually hurt, and they can give him some time to heal up before ROH pushes in for a final battle or whatever their final pay-per-view is of the year. So yeah, give me Jurassic Express to win this match.
Part of me is like, man, they just got back together. Why would you have them lose? But I'm actually going to try to make more sense out of this. And usually when I do this, and especially in the past few years, it doesn't always go and work out the way that I think it will. But fantasy booker hat on. If I'm going to have Takeshita and Okada win the match at Wrestle Dream to win a tag team belt, but then they lose it the following month at Full Gear, I think we can get a four-way tag team title match, or three-way between the Bucks, Jurassic Express, and Takeshita and Okada, and Jurassic Express wins the belts there. So I think the Bucks win here.
Okay.
But Jurassic Express will get their up-and-comings and eventually get back to being world tag team champions, or even if the Bucks win it in Full Gear and we wait until World in Australia, Revolution.
Yeah.
Either way, these two tag teams might be feuding for a little bit longer, and it may be over the tag team belts. I'm not sure, but we'll go with the Bucks. We'll go with the Bucks here.
All right, we move into the I Quit match. Darby Allin and John Moxley.
I secretly hope this is going to be the main event. Just because the arena is going to be destroyed by the time this match is over.
Yeah, and there's going to be an arm flying somewhere. I feel at some
point. There will be an explosion.
maybe they rig the ropes again and they actually get the explosion they were looking for from the Moxley Omega exploding barbed wire match. That vignette promo last night. Oh, it's so interesting. Good.
That was very interesting.
It's an I Quit match, which means there's no DQs. So this is going to be the traditional ref bump, major interference match. I have a feeling that Danielson might get involved in this match in some way, shape, or form. But I can't be sure. At the end of the day, though, I think Darby has to win this. You almost kill his character And it might literally kill Darby Allin if he loses. Even if he wins, he might not make it out alive. But as much as I want to see the Death Riders, you know, have a bigger picture story being told, you have to end this story, which means Darby has to come out on top. At least in my mind, that's how it works. So I'll pick Darby Allin to win this one.
Yeah. I think Darby wins here. And then it's just a matter of kind of where we go from here for Darby, for Moxley, for the Death Riders, for this whole thing. But I feel the storyline kind of has to end at this match. At least these two, because, I mean, they've progressively gotten more violent, trying to outdo it, try to top it. I think this might be the only way to outdo it. A cage ain't going to work. A ladder match isn't going to work. A TLC match isn't going to work. A tables match isn't going to work. This might be the next best thing to do to finish up the storyline. But yeah, I think Darby wins.
All right, we move into the AEW Women's World Championship match. Chris Statlander, her first title defense on a pay-per-view against Timeless Toni Storm. And I don't even know what the story really is behind this.
It originally was the fact that Toni couldn't beat Statlander one-on-one, or that Toni hasn't. And Statlander's got two roll-up wins against Toni Storm, so it's a matter of if Statlander can truly beat Toni one-on-one. That's what it got to. It's just been a really weird build.
Yeah.
Around it.
Last week or yesterday's promo leading into the in-ring stuff to start the show, it was cool. It was a great way to get the crowd involved early. I wasn't 100% understanding the whole idea of. But again, that's Toni Storm's gimmick, is she says a lot of random things that doesn't really make sense. And you kind of have to get the references, I guess. And maybe the references are just flying over my head. I expect Chris Statlander to retain. I do know Mina Shirakawa has a new visa, so she is back in the States. So maybe she plays a part in this match. I don't really know. I don't like to say an interference is going to happen in every match, but I mean, it's always possible in AEW that an interference happens. But I think Chris Statlander wins. She's going to find her dark side, and eventually she's going to join the Death Riders at some point in time. I think that's the next big piece of the Death Rider storyline, is finally converting Statlander to the group, and her and Marina Shafir can be that fierce tag team in the women's tag division, or Stat can be a singles wrestler or something like that. But I'll pick Statlander to win here.
Yeah, same here. I don't see a reason why Statlander would lose it so quickly. I love Toni, but she's either got to take a break or she's got to do something to kind of let the batteries charge up again. But yeah, I'm going to go with Statlander as well.
And ladies and gentlemen, thank you for staying with us this late into the show. We have hit the projected main event of AEW Wrestle Dream for the AEW World Championship. We have the challenger, Samoa Joe, fighting the champion, the former grade school teacher, Hangman Adam Page. And what is bound to be a really, really good match. Hangman, I don't know how this goes, because like I can see it going both ways. That's what's so fun about some of these matches. As I can see a complete story where Samoa Joe takes the title back and now he's champion again, and he can run this division, get his final hoorah before his contract ends and he retires. Because I'm pretty sure he said that he's going to retire at the end of his contract. But at the same time, it makes just complete sense to keep Hangman as the champion, at least till MJF shows back up. And I don't know when MJF shows back up. But it would also make complete sense if Samoa Joe wins the belt and MJF says, hey, at World's End, you took the belt from me a couple years ago. I want to take the belt from you, Samoa Joe, and wrestle Samoa Joe at World's End for the world title. But I got to go with my gut here. And I'm going to say that the anxious millennial cowboy is just going to have the stuff on Saturday night. And he's going to beat Samoa Joe and retain that AEW Men's World Championship.
Yeah, I think so too. It would both perspectives are could happen. It would make sense either way. Because I think MJF's gonna cash in that world title opportunity either at Full Gear or World's End. Selfishly, for my prediction from All In London, or not All In Texas, I hope he waits until World's End and then beats Adam Page, and it makes me look like a genius, selfishly, but it probably won't happen. Especially with Full Gear being in New Jersey, close to New York. But I think it's going to be a better match than I think maybe some people are expecting. I think it's going to be hard-hitting. It's going to be physical, but it's going to be a good match. Joe getting a main event spotlight maybe one more time before he does retire, whether he wins the belt or not, is a pretty cool way to at least say you did, you know, as close to the end of his career. But I think for the way that the purpose of the storyline that may happen or could happen, I think it makes more sense for Adam Page to win, and I'm going to say that Adam Page will walk out of St. Louis, Missouri, still the AEW Men's World Champion, and defeats Samoa Joe at Wrestle Dream on Saturday.
Alrighty, everybody, leave your thoughts in the comments on all of these matches. We've gone through this entire card from start to finish, and any last words on this pay-per-view, expectations, where are you at with this pay-per-view? Because to me, it doesn't feel like there's a whole lot of progression of storylines from where we were at All Out. Like, it's been, only 3 weeks, so it's been kind of tough to build. 3 or 4 weeks, so it's been tough to build a whole lot of storyline in that period of time. What's your expectation level for this pay-per-view?
Yeah, I think it has maybe a little bit less slightly build than All Out did. And even then, I didn't think All Out had the biggest and best build to that show. This one may be a little bit less than that one, from a storyline and a building, hyping up perspective of it. But like we've mentioned before, sometimes AEW delivers almost every time on pay-per-view. But I would say that even some of those pay-per-views where it doesn't seem like it has the biggest build, the most hype, it usually outdoes itself and produces a really, really, really good show. I think it'll be a good show overall anyways. I think I'm hoping that either we leave with questions after the show or we set storylines up coming out of the show into Wednesday for Dynamite next week. Mm-hmm. And we start the build for either Full Gear, for Blood and Guts, for both. But hopefully this show is more of a setting the storylines up, yep, versus just having a few matches. And then we just kind of start over from scratch on Wednesday and it kind of doesn't make sense, but we'll find out Saturday, but I'm expecting a very good show like usual for AEW, but not the biggest or the best build, not the biggest or best hype, but it's okay. Not every pay-per-view is going to be like that, but I think it's going to be a very good show overall, no matter what.
Yeah, no, my expectations on some of these shows. So I look at it this way: the Big Four, which would be Double or Nothing, All In, Revolution, and Full Gear. Those are, to me, are the Big Four pay per views for AEW. Those are going to be your A shows. You're going to get a big build. I think we're going to get a large build leading into Full Gear. But then all the other pay-per-views, like you have your All Out, and you get a semi-small build. You get your Wrestle Dream, that's a small build. Your World's End has an okay build. You kind of don't tell any storylines for Forbidden Door most of the time. They're just dream matches with New Japan. And I feel like I'm missing a pay-per-view or two in between there. Dynasty is a small pay-per-view as well. So, I mean, my expectation is don't expect any major wow moments, but expect good in-ring work. They always perfect the in-ring work at the pay-per-views. But don't expect something major that you would see at one of the top shows. Any major splash, I think, gets shown at Full Gear in November. And then from there leads us into the Continental Classic. That leads us into World's End. But I'm expecting a good wrestling spectacle. But I'm not too... I'm not expecting a whole lot in terms of debuts or returns or big pops or big splashes or anything. Kind of like with the Hangman match, we were hoping that they'd just keep it clean, don't do anything dumb that risk the storyline. We just need a clean finish. I think that's the mindset I have with this pay-per-view, is don't do anything that, like, don't throw anything at the wall hoping it sticks. Do the right thing. Book the match kind of conservative, get us into Full Gear, and that's when you can make your splash. I think it'll still be a pretty decent show, but on par with some of the other, I would say, B-tiered pay-per-views. Oh,
yeah, I agree.
Alrighty, everyone. This has been the Beyond the Junkyard AEW Wrestle Dream Prediction Show. I ain't got nothing else to say. I need some water. My mouth is dry. So I'm going to turn it over to my guy, Cody Marinara, to say the final words.
Appreciate it as always, sir. And for those of you who pay attention and watch James's solo show on Saturday, can't wait for that meltdown that's going to happen. But let that be your lead-in for Wrestle Dream this upcoming Saturday. And then, of course, Saturday night, Wrestle Dream. Starting at 7 with the Tailgate Brawl and 0 Hour as well, with the pay-per-view starting at 8, HBO Max, Fubo, all sorts of ways you can find it, Prime Video, I'm sure. So while that's happening, got football on this weekend, of course, baseball playoff action's heating up still, NHL's in full swing with the regular season starting, NBA's right around the corner, college football, college basketball, NASCAR's winding down, so a lot of good stuff happening this weekend. So what that means is you need to stir up your favorite sauce. You need to mix it up with whatever you got. Make it a big old plate so that way you can have either leftover Sunday or just make you a big old plate and get fat and sassy on Saturday, however you guys want to do it. Either way, hope you guys enjoyed the weekend. Before we do go, I want to give a shout-out farewell. Spaceman, Mr. Ace Frehley of KISS. Passed away this afternoon, rock legend, one of the best guitarists, I think, of all time. Very sad to see that this weekend or today going into the weekend. But I hope everybody has a great weekend. Rest in peace to the Spaceman, and stir your favorite sauce, ladies and gents. Have a good weekend. Stay saucy. Beyond.